Today on Real Life Radio.
In the rage and in the insanity and in all that's going on in our world, this book is unmovable. This book is not going anywhere. In fact, you could burn this book and it changes nothing. Its truth is eternal.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The End, Part 3, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. The end of the world as we know it cannot be avoided, but we can prepare for it. Peter has only a little time left before he himself will be crucified for his faith in Jesus Christ. So his final warning is to prepare us for the danger of only knowing who Jesus is and not having a relationship with him. You see, in the insanity of this world, there is one thing that stands forever: the Bible. Scripture will never pass away and will continue to guide us and reveal to us the things yet to come. There is no other book that was written by the will of any man, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we all know the end is coming. Now that's not to say that we no longer exist. Our spirit lives on. The question is, where will you choose to spend eternity? When you choose heaven with Christ, he will never leave you or disappoint you. And now in his message called The End, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
2 Peter chapter 3 this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 begins, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir you up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers," those who will make fun of, "will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming?" In other words, when's Jesus coming back? "For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. For this they willfully forget, by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water." By the way, this is a scientific statement. It's brilliant. "The earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then was or existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Father, we pray today that as we conclude this portion of Peter in the exhortation about the believer having heaven as our destination, and the warning to the non-believer that the wicked shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, and that in the end, everything will eventually conclude as we know it. But we thank you, God, that your word teaches that for those who believe in you, there is eternal bliss, eternal joy, eternal happiness with you, and the revelation of the attributes of heaven. How we long for that. And Lord, even today, when we come to the end of this message, may we be more excited about heaven than we ever have been before. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And Peter now laying down in his closing arguments, this teaching about heaven and the end of all things, the burning up of all things, which must happen. That's not bad news, it's good news. It all depends on what side of the gospel you're on. But it's a wonderful announcement to the body of Christ and to those who have embraced his salvation. But we're talking about specific key doctrines of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible. And you can't say that without knowing and recognizing that the teachings and doctrines of the Bible is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need to remember that, everybody. Man did not write this book. That's why after thousands and thousands of years, this book still stands. In the rage and in the insanity and in all that's going on in our world, this book is unmovable. This book is not going anywhere. In fact, you could burn this book and it changes nothing. Its truth is eternal. And it will not be swayed. It will not be outdone. It will not be undermined. People can do whatever they want to do. This, in fact, Jesus said it. He said that this word that he's spoken and this word of God that he refers to will endure forever. It will never pass away. He said heaven and earth will pass away. He's referring to what Peter talked about. But this word, the Bible, will never pass away. We're reminded of this in John 16. In John 16, verse 12, the Bible tells us, Jesus is speaking. He said, I still have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Speaking to his disciples. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. I love that statement. Verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take what is of mine and declare it to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. In Bible study and personal Bible reading, when you hear a message preached, it's happening now. If the Word of God is exalted and presented and taught, the Holy Spirit takes over. That's what's happening here. We're careful to present the Bible, and then you let God do what he does. And he does it because Jesus commissioned the Holy Spirit. Christ went back to heaven and the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. And all these 2,000 years, it's the Spirit of God that's been teaching us by the preaching, teaching, reading of the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, there Peter said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture, utterance, or giving of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means nobody can read the Bible and make something up. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved, possessed by the Holy Spirit. What a great statement. Listen, with all due respect, you'll never get that out of the Quran. You'll never get that out of the Book of Mormon. You won't get that out of the writings of the Watchtower Society and our Jehovah's Witness friends. You'll never get that. With such direct and straight authority, the Bible from cover to cover declares to us that it is the infallible Word of God. No mistakes. In the original languages, Hebrew, Greek, and a little bit of Aramaic, the Bible is absolutely perfect and it stands the test of time and of eternity. Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in, here we go, in righteousness. That's what we're talking about today. Because listen, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've put your trust in him, the Bible says you're born again. You believe that Christ died on the cross for you and he rose again from the dead for you, and that what he did for you at the cross and by leaving an empty tomb in Jerusalem, that righteousness of Christ, the Bible says, has been imparted to you. If you don't know that, you're in trouble. How can you possibly experience the imparted righteousness of God if you don't know what Jesus did for you? The greatest pursuit in life is to know what Christ has done for you. That's what sets you apart from the world, is that it's his righteousness that's been given. You don't go about trying to establish your own. He's done it. And so we looked before at the first argument. You know, the Bible taught us that the end is coming. And we exhausted that weeks ago. The end is coming. Everybody knows this. Believer or non-believer, the end is coming. You sense it. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know the moment. You don't know the moment of your life. You could breathe your last breath in the next moment or two, and that's the end for you. But just note this, nowhere in the Bible does the end ever suggest annihilation or the ceasing to exist. That kind of freaks us out. Think about it. Just because someone dies doesn't mean their life has ended. Their body died, but the eternal part of them lives on. The Bible's very clear about that. The end is coming. People know it. I always get a kick out of the fact that when something happens in the world, media will always contact the church and say, you want to make a comment on what's happening? Is this the end of the world? What does the Bible say about what just happened? They never care until something happens. Now, you know, listen, if you were here Friday, I don't mean here, but were you in bed Friday? Where were you Friday? Listen, you can always tell when someone is new to California, right? Because if a 4.8 earthquake hits, everybody who's been born in California sleeps right through it. That was just a little relief. The earth went, ugh. People who have moved here, what was that? The earth moved. And with all that's going on in the world, I thought it would be bigger than that. Maybe it's a precursor. I mean, come on. We've got COVID, fires, lunatics running around the streets, burning stuff, throwing bricks. You know, it's appropriate to have like at least a 7. And every time I say this, people will write me, don't say that. Like I have the power. That's hilarious. And then secondly, we learned this, that you and I have the hope. We've got the hope of God as believers in this world. That's what Peter's teaching us. And there's three things we saw about that, that God's hope in our lives will never fail us. He cannot fail us. Even if you and I are faithless, God's faithful. Secondly, we saw that he can never leave us. Going back to the Holy Spirit, he's commissioned by Christ to see to it in your born-again life that you make it all the way through to the end. Man, that's a job. Think about the Holy Spirit at work. He cannot leave you. That's the hope we have. He won't fail us. He won't leave us. And thirdly, we learned last time that he'll never disappoint. God cannot disappoint. God will do his perfect will. And it's easier for you and I to be open to his perfect will than for us to try to impose our will upon God. And when we try to do that, we always get disappointed. And you and I have heard this from people, that when that happens, people will say something like, I don't know what God's doing. I prayed and I did this. Well, you don't know what's going on because you prayed and you went and did this. You should have waited until God made it clear. Well, you know what? We thought that was cool. We prayed and we did it. And we fell on our face. God will never disappoint. You and I will be disappointed. It's part of our human nature. Just know this. He will never fail you. He'll never leave you. And he'll never disappoint. God keeps his word. The more you shroud yourself with the Bible and wrap yourself. Boy, I just got a snapshot in my mind years ago. I think it was Kathy Blair, sweet Kathy Blair, Mark and Kathy Blair. I think it was Kathy who, by hand, put a quilt. Ladies, help me out. It's got little pieces in it. People wrote verses on it from friends all over the world. And part of that is Pastor Chuck Smith wrote on a little square, and they mailed them all back, and she made a quilt for me to wrap myself up with and pray. And that's exactly the picture in my mind when I think about, if I'm wrapped in the Word of God, if I'm shrouded in the Word of God, then listen, all of a sudden my judgment and my emotions and the way I think it should be done comes under the will of God. You see, I give that up. And when that happens, you'll be liberated from being disappointed. Yeah, but so-and-so promised me. Don't listen. That person said they intended to keep the promise. The problem is with us humans, we don't have the strength or the abilities to keep our promises. We mean it, but we don't have the power. He means it, and he has the power to do something about it. We need to remember that. So listen, as we close this out, we're going to be looking at the next closing two arguments, or three and four, as we present it. And I want all you Bible students to go back to verse 11 and circle it a few times, because verse 11 anchors where we've been to where we're going in the closing out to verse 13. Verse 11 is the glue, where verse 11 says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, it's all going to be, the material world is going to go away. What manner of persons ought we to be? In other words, see now that all this stuff's going to evaporate. How should we be living? What persons ought you to be in holy? Two things, holy conduct and godliness. Holy conduct and godliness. All of that is rooted again in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to wonder what that's like. It's to be or to live like Jesus. Argument three, the end. It's this, verse 12. You and I know the purpose of our mission as believers. You and I know the mission purpose and the purpose of the mission. We as believers, he says in verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Because of which the heavens, second time he has said this now, which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements, all of this is nuclear physics, by the way. How did Peter know to use those words? He didn't, of course. And the elements will melt with fervent heat, dissolve, become unhooked or unchained, as we learned last week. So the first thing I want you to do in verse 12 is circle the words looking and hastening. Looking and hastening. Because the first thing we see is that we should be motivated as believers to invite other people into eternity. Can I hear an amen? We should be, do we really believe Peter in the word of God and that this whole show is going to go up in eternal flame someday? That there is an end. If we really believe it, we're going to be burdened to tell other people about the love and the forgiveness and the grace of God. You will be compelled. The Holy Spirit will draw you to tell others about the hope that's in Christ. In my own personal life, I'll be very honest with you. In my own personal life, when I have lost sight of heaven and the reality of heaven, my passion to witness began to wane. I didn't see the urgency. There would be the prompting of the Spirit. The Spirit would say something like this to me. Tell her about me. Tell him about me. And I might offer up an excuse. Oh, Lord, you know how tired I am. You know how that goes over with God? It doesn't. Why do we do that? Why do we step back when that moment of prompting is there? Number one, we are weak in that moment. We're afraid of being what? Embarrassed of Jesus? What is it? Is it pride? Most certainly. Well, I don't want them to think weird of me, which is hilarious because where do we get this concept that people think good of us in the beginning in the first place? Listen. Just tell them about Jesus and how they respond will just confirm. Well, they'll think I'm an idiot. They have always thought that about. It's okay because we have a purpose to this mission of life and it's to tell people. He wants us to tell people. So how do you get that out of this portion of scripture? It's very simple. Number one, the word look here or looking, circle it please. It means probably what you think, and we've studied it before earlier on in our study, but it means to be with anticipation, watching, waiting, expectant. It means to be expecting with a state of fulfillment. I am waiting for the coming of the Lord or my going to him. In other words, listen, you and I would, I don't care about your eschatology right now if you're pre-post-millennial in your theology. Listen, do this, please, for everybody including you. Live for Christ today like it's your last day. Amen. Let the theologians beat that stuff up. You want to be safe? Live for Jesus today as though he's coming today. Amen. Jesus warned that there'll be those in the last days that will say, watch out, my master delays his return. Jesus said that kind of thing can get you into trouble. Expect him now. And that's that word to be looking. With great expectation, looking for Christ on the horizon. Now listen, church, circle the word hastening. This is really, really both weird and wonderful. You can buy volumes of books on what the meaning is in the original language for verse 12, and let me spare you the money. Nobody knows its meaning for sure. That should bring you some sort of comfort, but it should also raise your eyebrow. So what are we getting into? Well, we know this. Looking is the call of the church to be urgent in life. Hastening, the word hastening means this, to hurry up. It means to quicken. It means to have something, listen, brought swiftly. That's the meaning of the word. It's the interpretation that's tough. Look at your Bibles with me. The looking, definite article, the looking for the hastening of the coming of the day of God. We unpack it this way. The day of God, we know theologically, is eternity. The day of God hasn't happened yet. It's when all this is done. Watch this. The church age will be complete. The tribulation period has to be over. Christ has to come back to the throne of David, which will be in Jerusalem. That's got to be over. 1,000-year reign of the Messiah has got to come to an end. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, Satan will be released in the last or for a few moments to test those who were born into the kingdom age. They're going to need to have faith in Christ. And then the Bible tells us the end comes. And when that end comes, the Bible says that all things physical are done away, and there's a new heaven and a new earth, and there's eternity. That's called the day of God. It hasn't happened yet. What's strange about this, Peter suggests to us, you can hasten that arrival. And this is where we are shocked and impressed and convicted. Looking for is the immediate, urgent now. That's an order from Jesus. We're to be looking and living our lives urgently now for Christ. In doing that, the Bible implies that we can actually move the calendar of eternity closer. And I don't understand that. And nobody does. Has nothing to do with the day or the hour. It has nothing to do with dates, calendars, and has nothing to do with that. But the Bible clearly says here that you and I, by inviting people into the kingdom of God, and by you and I living a life that honors the Lord in obedience to him, we can move the needle and bring eternity closer for us. Why does he let us know this? Why is that in the Bible? It's for us to know. But why? I don't know why. Other than to motivate. But you know how much faith it's going to take to believe? You know what? Right now, what's today? What is today? What year are we in? Is it still 2020? I've had enough of this year. Although spiritually, it's been the greatest year ever. But God says, you obey me in this and you tell others about my love and forgiveness, and it can move the needle. Do we really want to see the needle moved? I tell you what, you spend and you read and you meditate more on the attributes of heaven and you'll want to move the needle. I don't know if anything's captivating you here anymore in this world, but I don't think so.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in his message called The End, Part 3. Thanks for listening today. The End, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, there's a reason Peter encourages us to keep looking up. We may not be able to change our circumstances, but we can change our outlook. One way to stay inspired through the hectic pace of life is to download the Real Life app. It's packed full of features like real life podcasts, TV programs, radio broadcasts, weekly devotions, and a whole library of Pastor Jack's teachings. You'll even find a mobile-friendly one-year Bible reading plan that you can read at your leisure or listen to while you're on the go. So take full advantage of our content for yourself and then share it with your friends. You can download the Real Life app at the App Store or through the website jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.